Access listening.
How are you doing today in 0TR mobile?
Haven't spoke to you in a while. How you doing?
It's moseying along here, trying to stay warm. It's beautiful out in the winter, but it's a little cool for old men. Not doing too much. We went out and mailed a couple of packages today up to Boston and one up to Kansas and drove out to the FedEx out there by the airport just for the ride. Got that done, sent some petitza and pfeffernuchens up there.
Fun. Sounds like fun. Yeah, I'm just going to look at something for a friend of mine. I had one of my guitar amps I had worked on, and the gentleman who worked on it wants me to look at something in his house, air conditioning-wise. I'm going to go look at that right now.
Well, it's a little cool for air conditioning, but I imagine it's the heat pump side of it.
I'm not doing any kind of work on it. I'm just... He wanted me to give him a second opinion on the install. He had his house rebuilt or something. He had a tree fall in the house, I guess, last year. He just wants a second opinion on the install to make sure that he's a little more confident that it was installed okay, because he doesn't trust his contractor. Imagine that.
There are HVAC guys, and there are HVAC guys. I know the last time I had mine looked at, they said the static pressure was a tiny bit high, but heck, the variable frequency drive motor was only pulling, I think, 0.8 amps that I let run just to circulate the air, and really wasn't that much, but I didn't relate to them too much, but that I'd installed the feather air duct downstairs, and that probably is what caused it. And he said, yeah, he said, probably a little bit on the small side, but not really hurting anything at this point. But I thought that was pretty observant just to catch that.
Some people don't pay attention to it when they install systems. Usually static pressure in an air conditioning system should be 0.5 inches of water on the water column, half an inch of water. And then, you know, there's always, you can go 0.6, you can go between like 0.4 and 0.6, and you'll be all right with it.
To be honest with you, David, I didn't even know they measured it in inches of water column. I think that's what I used on natural gas, matter of fact.
One of the gauges that I have a manometer, which I have air probes. I put in the ductwork just before and just after the air handler, and also use the same manometer for you can measure your gas, you know, measure the flow of gas at the gas valve or whatever, and that's supposed to be 0.7 inches of water.
Gas pressure in PSI on a house is about 4 ounces, isn't it, Dave? If I'm just reaching back in my memory bank.
I don't really know the pressure. All I know is it's, like, my house, I had the 2-pound meter put in, you know, the higher volume meter, you know, because I've got the gas stove and I want to add a few things eventually. Put a gas water heater in and possibly gas heat next year.
Well, if you could visualize this, I used to do the maintenance on a 13 million BTU. It was either 13 or 14 million. I think 13 million BTU stress oven. And that was a lot of fun. It had 5 PSI. And after I'd worked there 32 years, they shut that plant down, and another company, the auctioneer didn't realize that when he auctioned this panel box off with the main controller, that he was auctioning off the whole the stress oven, and it was big enough you could back a flat car in. So he sold it for like $600. Well, I got a call a few months later, and they wanted me to do the install on it out at another plant out in the boondocks there west of us. And I told them, I said, you can't run that out there. Well, we just bought it. I said, well, you should have asked. It has 5 PSI. And I said, every farmer out there would be screaming bloody murder because you're not going to have 5 PSI.
Let me get out of here. I pulled up to the house. You have a good afternoon. We'll catch this conversation up a little bit later. KB2HXS.
Okay, David. Nice to hear you. This is N0TR mobile for a little bit.
Out of the shop, so So that kind of ended my transmission career.
Recommend somebody I can get to rebuild this 4L60E shed.
So when I get one that comes to the shop that needs rebuilding, there's two ways to do that. The guy in front of the fire department in Inman, there's two shops. I forget the name of the one directly in front of the fire department, but he is suffering from leukemia, and he does what he can do when he can do it, but he does excellent work. The other guy to the south of the fire department, I forget his name, there's a waiting list, and he is good. My recommendation to you is to go through a local shop and let them do it, because if there's a problem with it, you've got somewhere to go to. And the reason I'm saying that is I have gone to AutoZone and got a Jasper transmission, and that never works well, because if there's a problem with it, you don't have a person to go to. You have to pull the whole transmission out and send it back to the guy who built it halfway across the country and wait on him to figure out what was wrong with it. And it's just, you know, it complicates things for the customer, which will be your daughter in this case. So it's well worth the money to let a local guy do it. And that way, if you have problems, you got a name with a face.
I was here in a little old Mazda, man, that thing's getting about 26 to 28 miles a gallon, and she gave me the Chevrolet, the truck, and she just spent $1,400 cash putting them new tires and wheels on it, but she gave it to me, and it'll be a month or two before I get the money up with Christmas here. But I'm not going to put another junkyard transmission in it. I'm going to get somebody to build this one. And like you say, that way I'd have somebody to go back to in case the thing don't work.
You are absolutely correct. And I tell you, you have no idea the amount of frustration that comes with going through AutoZone and trying to put it in yourself if there is a problem. I have purchased two of them that way for the customer, because the customer, that's what the customer wanted. Two out of three I ended up having to pull after it was installed because of issues. One of them was stayed in limp home mode, and the other one was a shutter at shifting into overdrive. And I just don't do it. It's just not worth it. Just pay the little extra money and get a local guy and be done with it. That's my advice, for what it's worth.
Yep. The transmission wasn't slipping. It wasn't making no noise or nothing. Just all at once. Just quit pulling. I can go up there right now and get in the truck, crank it up, and stomp it in drive, and it'll light the tires up on it. But it won't take me just a minute for it to get warmed up, and then it quits pulling again. But it'll spin the tires in forward and reverse. It just quits pulling up once it gets warmed.
Get lucky. And just what I do is just try to get it up there and just tell them what it's doing and give me a recommendation and a price after they look at it, because with the symptoms it's got, it could go either way. But if you do get lucky with it and it's just something like a solenoid or something, you get lucky. In other words, take it up there and be prepared to spend, I don't know, $1,500 or whatever. But if you get lucky and only have to spend $5 or $3, then, you know, go that route with it. But that is a nice truck. It's a sharp looking truck too, and I hate to see it just, you know, pushed to the side, and she's gonna give it to you, man. That's so much better than that old Ford you're driving.
My old Ford, I'm looking for the rear end to go out of it any time. Right after I bought the thing, it was making this roaring sound. And I went and got a quart of Ural and put it in there, and it took the whole quart. It quietened it down a little, but it's still got some play in that ring and pinion gear. And it's still roaring, so I'm looking for it to go out any time. But I started to go ahead and buy the solenoid kit and the new filter to go in that thing and just drop the pan and do that myself. But then I got to thinking, man, that's over $100 there. I might have just thrown away. It might not be the solenoids and filter, but I think I'll just take it and get the thing rebuilt, Chad. K4OIM for Audi.
Tell you how they're going to test the solenoids. And if you want to know how to do it, there's several companies on YouTube that will show you how to do that. And basically what they do is when it's on the bench to rebuild, they pull a solenoid out and they use Ohm's law. Volts times amps equals resistance. And they'll measure the resistance through the coil at 12 volts. And if the resistance is out of range, they replace it. It's as simple as that. If it's in range, they put it back in the transmission. If it's out of range, they replace it. And those things are not expensive at all. And if you pull the bottom pan, you got access to four of the solenoids that are pretty easy to get to. I think there may be one behind the valve body. I can't remember. I worked on the 4L80s, and I think that's a 4L60. I can't recall. But they're not easy. They're not difficult to test if you want to try to get lucky on your own. It's just that simple.
I may try that. I've been watching them YouTube videos on it, and they recommend that you change one of them in the front. Go ahead and change both of them, and same thing goes on the two on the back. If one's bad, replace both of them, and I can buy the whole kit, all four solenoids, and the filter for, I believe it's $97. But, and that could go toward just getting the thing rebuilt and knowing it's going to be all right, Chad. I think I'll just get the thing rebuilt. But like I say, I got to take me a couple of months to get money up to do that. But I ain't got nothing else to do. It ain't eating nothing sitting up here in the driveway. K4NUE, K4OIM.
Good luck with it, Walt. I wish I could help you more, but that's about all I know, I guess. I would try my luck first and test the solenoids with a simple ohm meter. And if they all test it out, then I'd drag that some gun over here to, I forget the name of it, Scott's or Mathis or whatever it is right there in front of the fire department, and let them do it.
Yes, I'll do that. But I'm going to have to wait till one of them warm days again before I crawl under that thing and drop that pan off of it. I ain't no hurry. My old Ford's still rolling. But, I'm gonna get out here and, put that J-pole up there in the front yard and run the coax into my bedroom and put me a 2-meter radio in my bedroom. And one of these days I'm gonna get this set of beams up out here, right? I don't know, I just ain't no hurry now. I just ain't got no energy. But man, I was tickled death. We got through the net last night without somebody announcing another silent key. These last 3 or 4 months, every time it's come my time to call the net, somebody comes in there with an announcement about a silent key. The other week when it was 884RM, Robert, when Dave announced that, it was all I could do to keep my composure and call the net, man. And then last week it was Al down there at Malden, a fine operator. But got through this week without one. K4OIM.
Watch it, Walt. You're going to hex us in 0TR.
MTR, how you doing today, Tom?
We finally got Chad to do something modern and use his telephone. That, you know, that's an exception. Go ahead, Chad.
You own me. Oh, you been on me. You own me. I'm sorry, man. I just did not see it. Be honest with you, I got notification when I got in the truck. I've been up working with Chris all day, and my phone was beeping when I got in the truck, and it says, your voicemail is 96% full. And I thought, well, I don't remember seeing a voicemail notification. So I happened to look down and look at the little tab, and there was 126 voicemails that haven't been answered. So I'm sorry, man. I just don't look at it. I just my mind just doesn't think that way, I guess. I guess I just live for the moment. But I apologize, bud. But when he let me know, I called you direct. So I'm sorry.
Hey, Chad. I don't look at no voicemail. And very seldom do I look at my messages. I think about the way you do. I just don't think about it. And my brother got on to me the other day about, man, I've been leaving you voicemails on top of voicemails and you don't call me back. I said, well, let me check them. And I had 80-something that hadn't been listened to. I don't know how long I sit here and click on 7, 7, 7 just to delete them. Oh, man. Well, take it up, Tom.
Well, I think I finally got him off the bench when I said, hey, Jarhead. shoot. Well, I had a long talk. I sat down on the steps at your house and had a long talk with your Labrador retriever, and I think you're mistreating that poor thing and underfeeding it, Chad.
If you haven't noticed, he'll love you to death. I don't think there's a mean bone in the dog's body. When he barks inside the house, he's not barking because he's upset because somebody's there. He's barking because you aren't petting him. And I can just about tell you what happened. When you sat on the porch and started petting him, he was standing up. After about 5 seconds, he'll sit down. And then after about 5 seconds after that, he'll lay down. And then after that, he'll roll over on his side. So after about 30 seconds of petting, he has suckered you into rubbing his side or his belly, and he'll just, he will look at you like, oh, yes, I got you. And he is a master at it. So is that pretty much what happened?
That's more or less exactly what happened. He was almost in my lap. Go ahead, Walt.
When I moved in here, I had three cats. There was a bunch of wild cats across the street that come out of the woods. Yeah, I just can't stand to see an animal go with nothing to eat. I done fattened them boogers up, and I had, there was 12 of them coming over here to eat a few weeks ago. I think it was last week, one of the mama cats come over here, went back over in the woods, come across the road carrying something in her mouth, went back across the road. She ended up bringing three little baby kittens over here to eat. So now it's about 15 or 16 of them I'm feeding. They'll go through 34 pounds of cat food in a week. I told my daughter, some of them going to have to go on a diet, because I can't afford to keep buying 34 pounds of cat food a week. I just hate to see any animal go hungry. And, well, my daughter feels that way about me, I reckon. She baked me a pineapple upside-down cake and gave it to me day before yesterday. And I got up this morning and came down here and put me on a pot of coffee and cut the radios on and eat the last piece of that doggone pineapple upside down cake. I ate that whole big cake within 2 days.
Jimmy?
Well, I feel the same way, Walt. They make good, they keep the coyotes really nice and fat. And that's what cats are good for. Go ahead, Jen.
KC, the dog in question, has a genetic disease called lazy dog syndrome, and I'm not being funny. It is a form of rheumatoid arthritis that's genetic in Goldens. And if you look at his shoulder blades, you'll see that the poor dog doesn't have fully developed shoulder blades because his joints are just riddled with the disease. So that means he can't walk too good and doesn't get around too good, especially when it's cold. But my daughter's birthday is on February 14th, Valentine's Day. So last February, Anna made her a chocolate cake. And Abby likes those chocolate frosting that you get out of a can, that old nasty stuff, you know, not the good stuff. But and we went in to unwrap her presents in the living room. After we unwrapped the presents, we went in there, and there's Casey, had stood up on his hind legs, pulled the entire cake off of the kitchen island, and had chocolate all over his nose, and had eaten, I don't know, probably a quarter of the cake laying on the floor. And he just looks at you like, I mean, you can't fuss at him, because he just, he's a pitiful looking. That you just, you don't know what to say to him. And, you know, you just have to deal with it. You know, that and butter. He will snatch a container of butter, the little stick of butter, in a heartbeat. And we have to check the cushions between the couch probably every 2 or 3 days because he'll stuff it in between the couch cushions. And we just got a little routine we have to do with him because he knows he's naughty, but, you know, hey, he's just too loving to fuss at him. You know, I just give him a look, and he just kind of looks back, kind of like, okay, well, you got me this time, but I'm going to get you tomorrow. But KO4 and UE.
Then, kind of thinking about getting me a dog. But I'd like to have me a German Shepherd. Tom, you talking about the cats making good coyote food. My daughter is one of these preppers. She thinks the world's coming to an end here in a few weeks. And you were the... Tom, we wouldn't need to go to the grocery store. I'd say for over a year now. She's got food canned and she's canning continuously. And she got to thinking about rabbits. And she went and bought 10 rabbits and put them in a kennel out here in the back that she got my brother. And somehow or another, all 10 rabbits got out. And you can't catch them. They'll let you get right up on them and then they gone. And I've seen 3 of them out here in the yard here lately. But I think the rest of them, the coyotes got them and they leaving my cats alone.
I don't like cats, Walt, at all. They don't like my chickens. And I got bit by a Siamese cat once and had teeth as big as a dog. So I don't have any use for them. But on the rabbits, if you buy, you have a heart trap and stick it out there and put some cabbage or something like that, Chad can tell you how to catch them. And then you can put them back in the pen. But if you had 10 and you had them in the pen, by now you'd probably have 30. They're pretty quick about breeding. I had Dutch Belgiums and Californias and all kinds of them, the pure white snow type rabbits and that. And, you know, a big white German Shepherd come by one night while we were in bed and knocked the bottom out of the cage. And him and a couple other dogs in the pack back then in the old days, they killed every rabbit and they didn't do it to eat. They just killed them and left them laying out in the yard. That infuriated me. If something kills in order to eat, I can understand it. But just to kill every single rabbit we had, and they were the kids' pets, needless to say, that problem was resolved. Yeah, they'd come through every night and dump all the trash barrels over, and then that one night they killed all my rabbits. In zero TR. Go ahead, Chad.
Let me just tell you what I just passed on the highway here, Highway 11. Let me tell you, see, I am on Highway 11 at River Road, right in front of the county park here. Somebody has hit a deer in a vehicle, and the deer is off on the side of the road, and I mean, it's pretty traumatic. Somebody has stopped and tied a balloon on the deer, helium balloon that says best wishes. What does that even mean? Who does something like that?
It's a sick puppy.
Either they had the balloon in the car, or they went to the store and bought it. And why would you put it on a carcass on the side of the road? Never mind. I don't even know what to think. I don't even know what to say about that. My goodness. Good grief.
Frank? This is WA4PXZ. They put the balloon on there to alert the state to stop and pick it up.
All right. I have a little more faith in humanity now. But did it have to say best wishes?
Might have been the only one they had handy.
Okay, I stand corrected. That's the right thing to do. But, you know, you got to admit, initially just looking at it, that is a little harsh.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, in Gerald T.R.
Hey, Tom. Chad, I went through there yesterday, and Big Mama Bear on the side of the road, and a cop was stopped there. I guess he's going to have DNR or somebody pick it up. And the day before that, a mid-sized young bear, not a baby, and I guess she had come back to find that baby, and she got hit the next day on Highway 11 right there near the Cliffs of Glassy entrance.
Not sure where I am as far. I'm 2 or 3 miles toward the Pickens Way from the cliffs, but, you know, now that you say that, I have seen back several months ago, there was a bear down here at this big red barn across from this winery they're putting up here on Highway 11. It was on the side of the road. So I guess that's three that I know about that's been hit. But, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, that's three. I won't stay long, but one thing I wanted to throw in a comment when you're talking about prepping and storing up food for a year. I thought about doing some of that stuff myself, but one thing the preppers can't ever tell me. Okay. Sorry, I had a little problem with my radio. You can store up food, water, all kind of provisions, but you cannot go to the pharmacy and say, give me a year's worth of drugs. So if you're on anything that keeps you alive, you're not going to be stay alive long because you can't get medicine.
Okay, let me make sure I got it. So if things get that bad, you might find life might not be worth living if you got to eke it out that hard. But, I mean, I understand it. I've got some basic first aid put away, and when COVID hit, we got some of the freeze-dried stuff to get us over for a week or two. But I don't know. I think nobody really knows what that would look like if it happens. But I don't see anything wrong with being prepared, but I think it's going to be a little bit more complicated than that.
If you know, 3 more years of biting, we might be there.
No, man. But anyhow, y'all carry on. I just got home. I've been on the road since noon and got to get a few things done in here. But I'll be listening on the walkie. I'll just turn it back to you, Tom. This is WD4, Never Give Up, Clear.
Good to take. Never give up, Phil. 73s. Talk to you later. Oh, and Walt, we've been leaving you out. Go ahead and make one in 0TR.
Tom, from some of the training films, they showed us in the Navy, in case of a nuclear attack, I don't think I'd want to survive and come out and find the world empty. The only people living are the ones that were in a bomb shelter thousands of miles away from the initial impact. And I'd rather just go up in a flash, be incinerated, than have to come back and live like you'd have to live without any power, no water, and worry about the radiation sickness. When they dropped them bombs on Hiroshima and all, there's more people died years later from the radiation poison than was vaporized in the initial attack. I believe I just, my lights go out all at once and I have to come back and live through all that. Pick it up, Chad.
Well, let me tell you what I got in the backseat. So, my cousin wanted to go to the flea market this morning, so we went together to the Pickens flea market, and there was a guy there who had a bunch of junk on the table, and he had some old newspapers on the table there for sale, and he said he got them out of his mama's house after she passed away, and he was selling them. So I bought one of them. Let me see if I can read it. 2,897 dead. 6 warships sunk at Pearl Harbor. Dated December 16th, 1941, the Greenville News. What about that?
We had one from the end of World War II and Victory in Europe Day and Victory in Japan. And I don't know if my nephew kept those or not, Chad, but that's pretty neat. But, Walt, we all went through nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare, and those pictures were enough to convince me. I think you hit the nail on the head, buddy. That's, man, some of that, you know, those gases and blister agents and things like that were just disgusting. But people don't realize we're still sitting on the edge of that right now. And we got a president up there that won't do anything if it does. So I'd say we're just about as close now as we were in the Cuban Missile Crisis. Anyways, guys, I got to go. Bernice is hailing me over here. And we've got a couple other things we got to do. And, Chad, I hope you enjoy that little box I left for you there. And those schematics, and those are more or less from the 80s, so discrete components and could be repaired. And I know you'd probably know how, if it ever needed it. So catch you down the line. And Chad, I'll send it back to you, and you send it back over to Mr. Walt. And great hearing you guys this afternoon. This is N0TR. Go ahead, Chad.
JI4DOS.
RTO4NUE 73, Tom. You have a wonderful day. Please tell Miss Bernice I said hello. I'll be clear with you, sir. KI4DOS, KO4NUE, K4OIM. Go ahead, Gary.
Hi, Tom. Tell Miss Bernice I said hello. Hey, Chad. Hey, Tom. Walt, hope all y'all are doing good.
Yeah, good afternoon, I'm Gary. It's nice to hear you. I didn't mean to run off and leave you. I was just getting some stuff for Bernice here ready. She's over here mopping, shining up the hardwood floor in the front room and the hallway. If she wants to eat, you know, I keep her busy, and if not, she don't eat. And there's a chocolate cake sitting on my table here that you didn't get any of yesterday, Chad. Zero TR. Go ahead, Walt.
Good talking to you, Tom. Zero TR. KI4 DOS. How you doing today, Gary?
Fine there, Walt. But my son's not doing too good. He blew a radiator hose off his car this morning, and I went and helped him get some antifreeze in it. We got it back to his house, and he called a buddy of his and said it had a blowed head gasket. I don't know. I've never seen a vehicle with a blowed head gasket that you didn't have either water in your oil or oil in your water. But his buddy said, no, he said, you don't have to do that. I said, okay. So I just didn't believe it.
DOS, now I've had I believe it was a Falcon station wagon that blew the head gasket. Well, it blew the whole top off the radiator. And I put another radiator on it. And that thing, the water kept getting gone on it, and it was running hot. And I thought it was a blowed head gasket, and there was no water in the oil. There wasn't no water coming out the exhaust pipe. But it had blowed the head gasket between the water jacket and the piston. And it was just enough water getting through that crack onto the top of the piston, and it burned it off. But I ended up having to pull the head off, taking it and get it shaved down and another head gasket. But it was just leaking enough to get on top of that piston and burn it, and the thing wasn't skipping. Chad know more about that than me. Pick it up, Chad. KO4NUE, KI4DOS, K4OI4IM.
Four-cylinder or six-cylinder? Aluminum head, aluminum block.
Yes, sir.
You want to verify what the mechanic is saying, top it back off with water and leave the cap off of the reservoir tank, and just sit there and look in the reservoir tank when it'll need to be warm, and you'll see it looks like bubbles. Some will spit bubbles out pretty quick, and some of them will just stream a little bubble every now and then. And what's happening is on a four cylinder, they usually in between the number two and number three cylinder, the head gasket lifts just enough to push exhaust past the gasket into the water jacket. And what'll happen is that it will push, that exhaust will manifest itself as bubbles coming up through the reservoir tank. But it won't do it when it's cold. The engine will have to be hot and warm, typically, and you'll see the bubbles coming up through the reservoir tank. And with the overhead four cylinders, the mechanic sounds about right, is that typically they don't deposit oil or they don't mix oil and water unless it's a really bad rupture on the head gasket. But if he needs the head straightened out, if that's what it is and he needs the head straightened out, just give me the head. I'll put it on the middle machine and get it back flat and send it back to him and save him some bucks.
Well, I'll relay that information. One of his buddies is going to let him borrow his. He's got a small truck. He called me and asked me if he could borrow my truck, and I told him yeah. But I said, you know, mine's a gas guzzler. He called another buddy of his, and he's got a little small truck with like a four-cylinder engine in it. He said he was going to borrow Dave's truck instead of mine. I said, okay. But I got to go get him and take him to Greenville Tech, so to pick it up. So anyhow, I've arrived here at the gas station. I got to jump out and put some push water in the car. Y'all have a good afternoon. And Walt, good talking to you. Thanks for the information there, Chad. Good talking to you. And I'll be back in just a little bit. Y'all still on here. KI4DOS.
KI4DOS, KO4NUE. Before you go, Gary, go to AutoZone. They sell exhaust strip sticks. The little plastic strips, kind of like when you take a P-test. Just they're about $8. Just dip it down into the antifreeze. And if there's any kind of hydrocarbon in the antifreeze, which is exhaust, it'll turn the strip a certain color. And that'll tell you right then and there. A cracked head or a head gasket, just so you know. KO4NUE, 73, Gary. Be careful. Talk to you later.
Do that, and thanks for that information. Go ahead and pick it up there, Walt. I got to jump out and put some gas in the car. KI4DOS.
KI4DTY.
KI4DOS, K4OIM. I got to get with you, Gary, about them items you got. I'm wanting. I got to figure out ways that we can meet up or I can pay you and get them. But I'll be here monitoring when you get back in the truck. Get out and get your push water and that station that was breaking in. Go ahead.
Hi, 4DTY. I was just saying hi. This is Daniel.
Hello, bud.
I ran some errands, doing some work, and trying to squeeze in a little bit of Christmas shopping.
No. I don't do Christmas shopping with all the traffic. No way. You are one brave character.
I do most of mine ordered, but I saved up a little bit this year to try to buy my two older boys a bike. And I did not want to get that shipped to me and me have to put two bikes together. So I opted to try to go out on Woodruff Road, which has been a flipping nightmare, and try to find some bikes.
Woodruff Road in Christmas season. Did I hear that right?
That is affirmative. I am crazy.
I don't know about crazy. Brave, maybe. I mean, really brave. No way, bud. I could not do it. Kudos to you.
I'm not the best driver in the world, and I wasn't about to let her come over here to Woodruff Road. I can handle myself a little bit better from driving so much, but I figured it'd be better for me to come out here than get a call from her saying that somebody rear-ended her, or she rear-ended someone else.
What did you get?
Two mountain bikes for them that I hope they love. They haven't had a working bike in probably a year at least, and so I felt bad, and so I was like, let's save up and we'll try to buy them each a bike. So we bought two bikes. They came out with this hybrid bike. It's like a mountain bike, but not, the wheels aren't as knobby, and it's kind of like a street bike / mountain bike. And then I bought a mountain bike for my wild child.
Tires are a little bit wider on it. Got maybe some kind of suspension or something on it.
Yeah, that hybrid has like a light suspension, and it's got not as wide of a tire. It's still kind of knobby, but not quite. And then that mountain bike's got like a heavy-duty suspension on it, and it's got some knobby, wider tires on it. So I hope they like it. I'm sure they will. They're good boys, and they deserve it.
What colors did you get?
I was like, last time I got both of them a green bike, so they were thankful, but I could tell they weren't crazy to have matching bikes. So I bought a gray one and a blue one. But that's what made it difficult. The store didn't really have a lot of options. And, you know, unfortunately, all the bikes are all made at the same place, just got a different sticker on it.
Well, you know, as far as not having a lot of choices, I'm kind of seeing that too. As far as it's as far down as a grocery store, even we went grocery shopping day before yesterday, I believe, and man, just kind of a little bit alarming. Lowe's is about the same way. I mean, they got stuff on the shelf, but not always what you need, you know. But anyway, I hope the boys like it. I'm sure they will. You're a good dad. You did a good thing. I'm sure they'll love them.
Yes, they're very respectful and always willing to jump in and help. Not just me, but, you know, if they see somebody in need, they'll jump in and see what they can do to help. So they're good boys. But yeah, I hope they like them. But yeah, I've been noticing the same thing at the grocery stores. It's been kind of getting a little different lately. And even some of Costco's stuff, I usually do a Costco run once a month in the middle of the month. And I've been noticing even the quality that we typically would get from them has gone way downhill.
They might be struggling just to meet the demand, much less quality, you know. But anyway, you did a good thing, bud. You did a good thing. Where are you going to hide them?
Parents' house. I figured kind of kill two birds, one stone here. I thought maybe my dad could use a little pick me up, and I'll go in there and see him, and also ask him, you know, if I can park the bikes there, which I think he'll appreciate that I'm asking him. So I'm going to go over there and hide it in their garage.
Roger that. Well, you did a good deed, bud. Listen, I've got to step on out. I've got to my destination. So I'll talk at you later. But if you got time, give me a holler tonight when you're free. I'm always hesitant to call you because I know you're so busy. But give me a holler, or we'll check in on the net, either one. KO4NUE, K4OIM, KI4DTY, KI4DTY, I'll be 73. Y'all have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Chad. Nice talking to you. Yeah. Hey, you can always call me. You call me, and I mean, worst case, I don't answer if I'm really busy, but I always answer if I can. But I may talk to you anyways. I got a little radio question. It's nothing urgent or that important. I just want to get your take on it. But 73s, and I'm actually at my destination too, so I'm going to back out for a few minutes anyways. This is KI4DTY, and I'm clear.